Dear kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for the opportunity you have given us this week to once more take part in this nationwide gospel meeting. We're thankful, Lord, for this medium that you have given to us, and are hopeful, Lord, that in the spreading of the gospel through this medium, we're able to reach many people. Pray, Lord, that the messages that are proclaimed through this particular phone line, that these messages be such that someone understands what is required of them to be saved, and that they hear those necessary components for salvation, the saving message about your son Jesus, the blood he shed at Calvary, the empty tomb, and the church of Christ that he erected and paid for with his own blood. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Colley stand bold and teach us those precepts as they pertain to tithing. Pray, Lord, that in doing so, someone listening will be able to see for themselves what you say about this important topic. Heavenly Father, be with our listeners. Pray that someone is listening tonight who is seeking the truth. Heavenly Father, be within your permissive will. Bless us with the increase. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much as well. And so thankful tonight to have each and every person from Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're so thankful tonight to have each and every person that's visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that we speak the truth in love. We want you to know that we believe that you are our VIP, very important person. As Brother Flunder said, we put this call on with you in mind. Now, we encourage you to open up your Bible. If you believe that the Bible is right, we have no problem in anything we're teaching our program. The Bible is right over us. And we're thankful that the Bible has given us instruction from God. And the theme we're working on this month is God's Word has settled the matter. The psalmist said forever, O Lord, that Word is settled in hand. So God said that settles it whether we believe it or not. Tonight, we ask you to open your Bible, pay close attention to this subject tonight about tithing. I got Brother Gary Collins. Brother Gary Collins has become someone very dear to my heart. Carol Collins is with us at the start of this program, Nationwide Gospel Media. I got to know him, and I'm so thankful God has blessed me to have him in my life. And also, the advice he's given me through this program, he's been on every month, also helped me with the selection of some of the topics and themes, and we're thankful for his background. But Colin's been preaching a long time, come from a family preacher. He presently makes programs for the Gospel Broadcast, the network, participates in meetings and lectureship. He's also in the beginning of a 7-year preacher regular at the Memphis School of Preaching. He's a part-time instructor there at the Memphis School of Preaching. So we're thankful to have Brother Colin on with us. We had his son last week. We're thankful to have him this week. Brother Colin, we know this issue about tithing. Tell us about it. What is God's word saying about this matter that we need to know?
I'm appreciative of the invitation to again speak on the nationwide gospel meeting. I count it an honor and a heavy responsibility to speak only as the oracles of God speak. You know, that's what 1 Peter 4:11 says. Yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified. I agree with Paul in Romans 1:14 when he said, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and unto the foolish. And so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We want to live by faith, do we not? Faith, of course, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul said, though we are even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you and which you have received, let him be accursed. I'm grateful to Brother Tommy Brooks, to Brother Anthony Flunder, and others for this fellowship in the gospel, which we have enjoyed on the nationwide gospel meeting. All who have worked so diligently to bring these soul-saving sermons to you, our listeners, I certainly commend them and offer them my congratulations on a work well done. I've listened to and appreciated so much the dedication to the Word of God that has been shown by the speakers thus far, who have been engaged in this gospel effort. Now, there are those tonight who claim those in the churches of Christ do not believe the Old Testament. Well, my friends, that's not exactly right. In fact, it's not right at all. We do believe in the entire Bible, but we also believe that there are certain places in that book that are dedicated to one group of people, while others are dedicated to those who are Christians in Christ. John 5:39-40 said, "Ye search the scriptures, because in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they that bear witness of me, but ye will not come to me, that ye may have life." In Acts 17:11, he said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." You know, in Proverbs 23:23, he said, "Now let us buy the truth and sell it not." And Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let me refer you back to 2 Timothy 2:15, where he said, "Study or give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What does he mean to rightly divide the word of truth? Well, I read again from Hebrews 1, beginning verse 1, where it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he hath given to be the heir over all things, and through whom he made the worlds." God, in different times and different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers and to those in former dispensations, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you remember the patriarchal situation there, the patriarchal dispensation? That patriarchal simply means father rule. And it means that those for 2,500 years, God dealt directly with the fathers. They were the prophets, priests, and kings of the family. I do not build an ark tonight, not because the Bible didn't command Noah to build an ark, but you see, he was in a different dispensation of time. And that's what he means when he says we are to rightly divide the word of truth. I do not take my son and offer him upon a sacrificial altar, as did Abraham, or he offered to do so. And Isaac, of course, went willingly to be the sacrifice until they decided, of course, that God doesn't desire for him to do that. God spoke directly to the fathers in the patriarchal age. Pater meaning father, oracle meaning father rule. But then there's another dispensation that began on Sinai. It's called the Jewish dispensation. How long did it last? 1,500 years. For 1,500 years, these people who were called Jews, they lived in harmony with the Old Testament law. Now, if you read Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 1, you're going to find 14 times that it is stated whom that old law was given to. Moses called unto him Israel, and said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I speak unto you in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, observe to do them. Jehovah your God made the covenant with us in Horeb. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Jehovah spake unto you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Jehovah and you at that time, and to show you the word of Jehovah, for ye were afraid because of the fire. And you went not up unto the mount, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." 14 personal pronouns here, my friends, are stating that this law was given unto the Jews. If it was given unto the Jews, then there's something here that we need to notice. Those who were not Jews were not under this law. I want to say to you tonight a very radical statement, perhaps. You may think that the statement is radical, because I assure you that these are the facts, though, in the matter. I have never disobeyed one part of the law of Moses. Did you hear me right? No, not even the Ten Commandments. No, ma'am. No, sir. I have not done that. I do not believe that I have ever tithed, although that is commanded in the Old Testament. It is not commanded in the New, as we'll learn tonight. Therefore, I have never disobeyed any of the laws of the old law, not even the Ten Commandments. Now, I know that there were 9 of those commandments that were reiterated and made stronger in the New Testament that we see over the blood of Christ. But those are things that I will have to obey, but never just the Ten Commandments. It doesn't mean I'm against them. It doesn't mean I don't believe in them. But neither have I ever disobeyed, you know, the laws of Japan. I've never disobeyed the laws of China or any foreign country, my friend. It's not because I don't think those are good countries. It's because I've never lived there. I've never been under those laws or subject to those laws. So the reason for not breaking any law, the law of Moses even, is the same. I'm not a Jew, and this law was written to the Jews and for them, and I have never lived in the Jewish age. In Colossians 2:14, he said he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. We understand then that this is the reason we do not tithe tonight. It's because we are not under that law. No, the New Testament does not teach tithing. Oh, I know that we're charged also with dividing that word of God rightfully, and that's what we want to do. And a major part of rightly dividing is to recognize the difference between the Old and the New Testaments and the 3 dispensations of time that are taught there. John 1:17, he said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, we need to notice then that where there are different lawgivers, different laws, there are also different subjects, and these must be closely considered. It's not uncommon in religious circles today to hear people say, with pride even, I always pay my tithe. But my friends, may we remind you that all others today that we all live under the New Testament law of Christ and not under that old law. Nothing in the law of Moses is upon us as a law. Now it does say in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, not our law though, but it was written for our learning that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we read in Malachi 3:5-10, that these things which he said concerning Israel, withholding their tithe. He said, will a man rob God? And yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour out unto you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome, a land of delight, saith the Lord of hosts. So we understand what Romans 15:4 says, don't we? Whosoever doesn't do these things is going to be paying the debt. But he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime, it's true they were written for our learning, that not our law. And so we, through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Well, what about tithing? Is tithing a part of New Testament worship? Well, what do you mean by tithing, first of all? Tithing, I think, needs to be understood, and it's meant the giving of a tenth part of a thing. Tithing of cattle was to give one of every 10 unto the Lord, dedicated to him. Tithing, of course, of vegetables was to give a tenth part of what the land produced. And this tithing, my friends, was to be given to the Levites. Even they were given no inheritance, you know, in the land of Canaan. And so the Levites were to offer a tithe of the tithe, according to Numbers 18:26-28. That was for the maintenance of the priest. Now the tithe was to be paid in kind. If it were fruit or vegetables, grain or sheep or cattle, they were to be taken to the Levites in Jerusalem, unto the place which Jehovah your God shall choose out of all of your tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and the tithe shalt thou come. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5. But in the latter years, you know, those years, in fact, before they actually entered into Canaan, this was modified somewhat, allowing them to convert the tithe into money and to bring it to Jerusalem. And it became increasingly more necessary that such an arrangement be made as the people began to scatter into all parts of the world. So in noticing that tithe, we understand what the tenth is all about. Now, my friends, furthermore, we notice also that these things were to be given unto the priest, and they were to give them unto the people. So as we see in this, the things which even some historians say, Josephus, for instance, distinctly says that one-tenth was given to the priest and the Levites, one-tenth, was to be applied to the feast of Metropolitus, and then a tenth beside these was every third year to be given to the poor. And then we notice there are others who said that these were to give the tenth to the priest, one-tenth to be sold and spent at Jerusalem, communicated according to Deuteronomy 14, verse 24-25. Another tenth was to be given away, according to these things of the historians in the past. Jerome says that one-tenth was given to the Levites, out of which they gave the tenth to the priest. A second tithe was applied to festival purposes, and a third was given to the poor. So we notice here that it was more than just a tenth, actually, and yet it was probably be at least 30%, and maybe more. So when you talk about tithing, I have to suppose that we need to see closer. The Lord's proposition was, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Will a man rob God? Indeed, when they withheld that which should have been given to God, it was called robbing God. My friends, we ought to all be aware of that which we are hearing on these things, because it could be we're withholding from God the things that are really needful. You know, during the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew, there was no command, no revelation given by God. But Malachi closed the book of Old Testament with the thought, will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. An effort to rob God, of course, indicates certain characteristics in a person. Ignorance, first of all, of the part that man plays in this situation. Does the man not know that God knows all things? Thou knowest my down sittings, my uprising, says the prophet, or says the psalmist, and thou understandest even the thoughts from afar off, and thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art thou acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Jehovah, thou knowest it altogether. This is Psalms 139, verses 2 through 4. Then there's also that willingness to deceive. You know, some people think they can deceive God. Will a man deceive God? I think not. But though all would admit to the impossibility of doing so, since God knows even our thoughts before we think them, yet the Jew, who was obligated to offer a perfect animal, but who brought some torn animals by wild beasts, others entirely trying to deceive God by giving those that were blind and lame and otherwise, would those offerings to God be an insult to God? Well, of course they would. You know, willingness to mock God has never been a good thought. Paul said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The word mock really literally means to turn up the nose at. And so if it is true that we could, it would be an insult, my friends, to one to mock him, and this is what would happen with God, to turn up the nose at him, to insult him. Well, when a Jew brought these sick lambs or instead of that which was commanded, and the act indicated that he had no respect whatsoever for God and his knowledge or that what was being done, that he did it without care. It was hypocrisy, wasn't it, in the sight of men, and a mockery in the sight of God. Wherein have ye robbed me? Was their question to him. Wherein have we robbed thee? Well, he said, in tithes and in offerings. So failing to pay the tithe to the priest kept them very poor. And such, of course, is known to have been the case most of the time. And especially in times of idolatry, the priests were very poor, and in withholding the tithe from the priest, the people had robbed God. Of course, it is impossible for a man to impoverish God. He is not dependent upon man for anything actually that he needs. But in Acts 2:41-42, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added unto them daily such as were being saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now, those are the five items of New Testament worship. You say, but wait a minute, I only saw four items there. Well, read them again. They continued steadfastly in what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, preaching of the word, in fellowship in giving and singing, and in prayer, in the Lord's Supper. Well, in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, he tells us some very important thoughts there. Paul said, as I gave order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, he may prosper, that there be no collections made when I come. Well, he did want them to give of their means, did he not? Did he say, now you be sure and pay your tithe? No, my friends, he did not. This is the New Testament law. This is the one of which Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If this is a New Testament, it's not the old law. Who is that law given to? Deuteronomy 5. 14 times in those few verses there, the first six verses, say that God gave that law to Israel, to the Jews, and I'm not a Jew, and perhaps you're not either. If you're not, you've never been under that law. My friends, that's something we need to see, isn't it? Is it possible for people to rob God today? Oh, I think it certainly is. We can withhold that which we should be giving, and that's called robbing God. We oftentimes rob God of our time sometimes, don't we? But it belongs to him. We go fishing on the Lord's Day, maybe, or we should be in worship, and we rob God both of time and honor because we're not there. If we could be, if sickness, of course, is not the reason that people do not go as they should, but there's not a tenth taught here. You know, when do we give as we have been prospered? It's not just a tenth. In fact, you know, in the book of Hebrews, 13 times it tells us how much better what we have in the Christian dispensation is than was what in the Jewish dispensation. Today, it is the starting point, perhaps, in our giving, that we give at least that much. But wouldn't it be better if we went further than that, to give as we're prospered? When we do not give as we have been prospered, we rob God. And the poor, of course, cry for food, but they go hungry because the church is not having the funds that are needful. And this is robbing God. We rob God of the honor and the glory which so justly belongs to him when we fail to do that which is right. Some, of course, rob God of glory due to him by leaving the church and joining civic and fraternal organizations through which to feed and clothe the needy. That's not desired by God. He has his own missionary society in the church. And if God is the master, we owe him service, do we not? If God is a father, we owe him reverence and obedience, do we not? Malachi 1:6, he says, you better pay that respect to me. And failing to render these things so justly due him, we rob God, do we not? Now, tithe in Israel for an inheritance. 48 cities in Canaan were given to the Levites in which to live. And the tithes of the people were for the maintenance of the Levites. And occasionally, we find people who think those who preach the gospel should not be paid for their service which they render. But even in this case, the Levites were to receive the tithe in return for their service, which they did in service unto God, even the service of the tent meeting. And Paul said, even so, in other words, in like manner, did the Lord ordain that they that proclaim the gospel shall live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Now, if the people had been faithful in bringing in the tithes, the priest would have had as good a living as the balance of the people. There were 12 tribes to bring the tithe in to the Levites. So, in reality, They would have had a better living, actually, for they were only one who of the 13 of the people. Yet they hadn't been one-tenth of the prosperity of the people. Frequently we find church leaders who think the preacher may be paid for his service, or he should not be, maybe, but he should not be paid enough to live as well as the balance of the people. But God certainly intended his priest should have as good a living as anybody in the congregation. Well, this is just a part of the things that may be mentioned concerning tithing. My friends, in noticing this, there's some outstanding words here. You know, it's said in Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Singing, Ephesians 5:19, says we're to be speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. What a beautiful thing it is when Christians worship together in song. No, the instrument of music is not taught here or in any other place in the New Testament. And those who use instrumental music are going against the will of God and the way of God in those things which they're doing. So in noticing this, obedience to the primary principles of the gospel of Christ are very important. There's no doubt, and we emphasize those things on this nationwide gospel meeting, that hearing the word of God produces faith in the heart of man, which produces repentance, a change of life, which produces confession that he believes with all of his heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, of course, he willingly goes into the watery grave of baptism to wash away his sins. In Acts 22:16, Saul is told, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So in doing this, it is not negating or reducing the importance of doing the will of God if we talk about doing those things in worship which God commands us to do. If we want to be pleasing to our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 6:15, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And of course, Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you? But we must not ignore in becoming a Christian that after this, there's the importance of living faithfully the Christian life according to the Lord's commands. Paul said in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, rather renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:5-11, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And so here we find the way that Christians are to live. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But watch it now. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see what's afar off. And he has forgotten that he is once purged from his old sin. In Revelation 2:10, he said, now be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. How wonderful to see then the importance of worship, the importance of giving. You know, that's a part of New Testament worship, giving. And it is a partnership, actually, that we've entered into with others. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 12 through verse 14, he talks about how we are to do that. He said, for if there be first the willing mind, it is accepted according as a man hath, not according as he hath not. For I mean not that others should be eased and that you be burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be the supply of their want, that their abundance, also may be of a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, equality is taught in our giving. That doesn't mean that we give the same amount, but it does mean that we give as we're prospered, and that is equality. If you give as you're prospered, I give as I prosper, then we're going to have equality in our giving. And in Matthew 23:1-2, Jesus spoke unto the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, But in verse 5, he said, but all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of the garments. And they love the uppermost rooms in the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, we are to give as we have prospered. That didn't say 10%, but it's that much or more, wouldn't it, for us to give if we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. You know, there are three outstanding words that are particularly important to Christian living. There is giving, forgiving, and thanksgiving. And all of these are taught in the Scriptures to be highly important for the life of every child of God. We are to study these things. We're to apply them to our lives. And we need to study what is taught in the Old Testament as well as that which is taught in the New Testament about the subject of giving. But none of us are under the law of tithing. That is a part of the old law, which no one but Jews were to keep. One man said when he was fixing to obey the gospel of Christ, you know, when you get close to a person's billfold, you get close to his heart. I suppose that's true. Another said, I can tell you how much religion a person has by looking at his checkbook. Well, if they looked at my checkbook or your checkbook, would they conclude that we were faithful children of God? And one about to be baptized heard a man say, wait a minute, you forgot to remove your billfold from your pocket. And that man said, oh, I didn't forget it. I want that baptized also. A preacher got up on one Sunday morning to announce to the congregation, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that we have enough money to pay off for our new building program, but the bad news is it's still in your pockets. Now, my friends, is it wrong to use money correctly? No. But it is wrong to have and allow money to use us in a worldly way. You see, the subject of giving is important as a subject of New Testament obedience of faithful Christians. It's discussed often by our Lord. And you know, those who want to be faithful in Christ will want to study that subject closely also. They never object to a lesson on giving. And what is taught in the Old and the New Testaments must be divided correctly. Remember 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts 11, when the people heard that there was a drought in Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Antioch the prophets came, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought in that part of the world, which came to pass, he said, in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now watch this. Then the disciples, every man according as to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders, or to the elders, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Well, if one is a Jew, he would give a tithe, but if he's a Christian, he'll give even more than that, probably, because he's giving as he has prospered. Now, it's true that we as Christians are called Jews at times. In Romans 2, verse 28-29, he said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but neither is he that the circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to have the understanding of God's word and give as we're prospering. You know, Paul taught and enforced these things. For he taught the same doctrine in every congregation. We should do the same. And we love those who are children of God. We want us to be what we ought to be and live as we ought to live. And we want to go to heaven at last. And indeed, my friends, it's wonderful to see no problems about money in the church when people give, as these are taught in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. If we give as we're prospered, there will be never a lack of money for doing the Lord's work that needs to be done. We're glad that you listened tonight. We want you to be a Christian. Hear the word, believe it with all of your heart, repent of the sins of your life, make the good confession that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your Savior. Go with him into the waters of baptism and then, of course, be buried with him in baptism, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you're going to be raised to walk in newness of life also. been so good to be with you tonight. And we thank you for listening. And this time, we turn it back to our listener, our announcer.
Thank you, Brother Colin. We appreciate you so very much. So we're thankful for you bringing this message to us. And it's really simple to the listening audience. You know, we got two laws, the old and the new. And we're under the New Testament law. We still do not command tithing. So if you're in a church where you're tithing, that's not true doctrine. And that's what we want you to know. This whole program is about settling the matter on what God has said in His Word and reaching out to those who are seeking to be true worshipers. True worshipers, according to the New Testament, as He's taught us tonight, we can see clearly that those who were Christians in the Church of Christ of the New Testament did not tithe. So if you're calling, you're in a church where you're tithing, you really need to listen to our messages and consider, have you obeyed the truth? If you're in a church where they're talking about tithing, you have not obeyed the truth. That doctrine is not true. We love you. We want you to be saved. And we thank Brother Colin with a very, very simple, plain way of showing us the difference between the old and the new. We appreciate him so very much. I just love him for his knowledge of the scripture and the way he preach and just teach the message so plain and simple. We appreciate you so much, Brother Colin. Now, if you want to call tonight and you say, Brother Brooks, I want to be a member of the true church, the Church of Christ. I want to give like the Bible teaches. I want to take communion every Sunday like the Bible teaches. I want to be in a congregation where they sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. I want to be in a church where they preach just what thus said the Lord and the Word of God. And I want to be in that church where those are following the New Testament that was given to us by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the New Testament. That's what we honor today as a law. So you may want to be baptized. So what we want you to do is get back with the person who invites you to the call and tell them you want to be baptized. Or if you need further studies, they can help you with that. Now, if they can't help you with getting baptized or having further studies, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make those arrangements for you no matter where you are in our listening audience. And we're so thankful. We've got people from Alaska and Japan listening to our call. Our call has far exceeded our expectations, and we're just so thankful. So many are tuning in for these very important topics that we're putting on. Since the month of May, we've had a large audience every night, and we're thankful for that. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing of life. Thank you for Brother Colin, Lord, for giving him the wisdom, the ability to proclaim your word in a very simple and plain way. We thank you for him. We love him. We thank you so very much for him. Pray for him, his ministry, and his family. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord, who you sent to this world, who gave his life, hung on the tree of the cross, and shedded the blood and washed our sins away in baptism. Purchased his bride, his church, the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. Purchased by the blood of Christ. We thank you for that. Thank you for your love, Lord, Father, for loving us enough to give your only begotten Son. Thank you for giving us life. Now we pray for our program. We pray that as we have had meetings obey, we also pray it. And not only we have new members obeying the truth, but we have our members who may be in congregations that are teaching tithing. Things of that nature. We pray, Father, they understand the truth must be taught no matter where you are. They too can restore, repent, and come back to the basic truths for what we believe the Bible teaches. We pray for our ministers across this nation, all of those listening, Lord, that you would bless the ministries, the congregations, the elders, the deacons, the preachers, and the members of those congregations to support this outreach. And we are trying to carry your gospel to a lost and dying world. Lord, thank you so very much. We love you. We pray our audience can understand that we speak the truth in love, but they must receive it with meekness, for it's able to save this soul. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, we're off to a great start this week, the second week of our December messages coming from the Being the defenders of the faith that we're bringing back on our program this month, we got a powerful theme: the Supreme Court has ruled. God's word has settled the matter forever. Some have said forever, Lord, that word shall be settled is settled in heaven. So tonight, Brother Collier, tomorrow night, Brother Dunn, night, well, and God, we're not settling this matter about homosexuality. Well, this should be a big call. We want everybody to invite everyone you know to hear about homosexuality. And then Wednesday night, another great topic about will worship, doing things so much, worshiping God according to your will, not his. Brother Charles Orgel from Orlando, Florida, going to bring us a great message there. And then Brother Larry Acuff from Lithia Springs, Georgia, going to talk about God's word doesn't tell this man about vain worship. And it's such thing as you can be thinking you're worshiping okay, but it's actually vain, which means it's no good. Then closing out, but Oldest Smith, my homeboy and friend of our family, Brother Oldest Smith from Lafayette, Louisiana, talk about true worship. God's word is settling the matter on these topics, and we're thankful that we got men who are willing to stand flat footed and preach it in love with the interest of saving souls. We're not interested in winning arguments. We're interested in winning souls for Christ. We thank you so very much for calling in. Join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30 with another message from the Lord. May God bless you, is my prayer.